Reading tonight from the book of Revelation, the 5th chapter. Want to say how delighted we are to have several repeat guests back with us tonight. Told someone recently that the only thing that we enjoy more than seeing you come is to see you come back. Amen, amen. Hope to meet you in the altar tonight. Amen. For the Lord to have His way in your life. And everyone said, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Revelation chapter 5. Work our way down through a few verses here. Verse 1. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within, and on the backside sealed with 7 seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?" Notice verse 4. And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. Verse 5, and one of the elders saith unto me, "Weep not. Behold," notice the descriptive terms, "the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David." How many knows who that is tonight? Amen. None other than Jesus Christ himself. "The Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the 7 seals thereof." Jesus has prevailed. Verse 6, and I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the 4 beasts, in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having 7 horns and 7 eyes, which are the 7 spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came. Who came? Jesus came. The Lion, the Root, and the Lamb. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the 4 beasts and 4:20 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sang a new song. And this is the song that they sang: "Thou art worthy." The strong angel proclaimed in verse 2, who is worthy? John the Revelator wept much in verse 4 because no man was found worthy. Amen. But he got good news that the Lion and the Root of David has prevailed. And he looked and saw a lamb standing. And the lamb came and took the book. And those that were there that day sang a song to the lamb: "Thou art worthy." Amen. Verse number 12. Amen. Saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." Amen. The Lamb is worthy to receive what we have to offer tonight. Amen. I know it's impossible to give him what he's truly deserving of, but I want to give him tonight my very best, because worthy is the Lamb. Amen. Is that how you feel tonight? Amen. I'm overcome with his worthiness tonight. Amen. Would you lift up your hands? And that's magnify the Lord together. I love you, Jesus. I worship you, Lord. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. I worship your holy name, oh God. Amen. Please be seated. Lord bless you. I think most of us understand the concept of worthiness. We feel so unworthy of the goodness of the Lord. By that, we don't feel that we deserve it, and truly we don't. Our righteousness, as we read in the Bible, are as filthy rags. So without Him and without His righteousness, without grace and mercy, sanctification, justification, without the works that Jesus has done and what the Lord does for us, amen, we will never measure up. And so I understand your feeling of unworthiness. Tonight, however, I've not come to focus on our unworthiness, but I have come to magnify the Lord's worthiness. He deserves everything that we offer unto Him. Amen. Amen. The Lamb is worthy to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. He is worthy to be praised. He deserves our worship. Now, although the terms value and worth are similar, they are not synonymous. They are different. Value is placed and worth is determined. Yes, sir. Right. We think about fair market value. It is the price that has been placed upon something based on other things that are similar. Yes, sir. Right. A few years ago, I purchased, not a new, it was new to me, but a different saxophone. And I don't remember exactly how much I paid, significantly less than what I would have paid for one that was brand new. The horn was estimated to be probably about 10 years old, but whoever had it took very good care of it. Either that or just put in a closet, didn't play it very much, very little scratches, everything in good working order. And I probably paid about half or less than what I would have paid for the same model, brand new. And what determines that is value. Yeah, right. It's the same horn. Right. In some regards, it's even a better one. Right. Because the ones that were made in that time era were made at a different factory, and they have a better tone and so forth and so on. But according to the value placed, same number of keys, same amount of lacquer, same shade of lacquer, same model of saxophone, but because it's 10 years older, it's used, its value is not as high. Perhaps if I would have asked you, would you pay thus and so for that horn? Unless you were really into musical instruments, Or you took my word for it that it was worth it. You probably said, I've got other things that I would rather spend my money on. The value is right, but the worth that you placed upon it, because maybe saxophone is not your thing. Why would I just, unless you're Brother Short, just buy an instrument to put in my office and lean against the wall? But mine is not near old enough or have near enough dent. Now, I've got one that would look pretty good. I've got one in the attic that it's getting there. You see what I'm saying? Its value is spot on. But to you, it's not worth that much to you. But to me, I'm willing. As a matter of fact, I was willing to pay more because it was worth it to me. The value had been established by the market. But whether or not somebody pays the price that's been determined is up to its worth to that individual. Worth is what someone is willing to pay. If you know anything about the housing market, amen, in this part of the country, in this time, a lot of houses are being sold for more than their value. The price is established. This is the value of this residence. But people are lined up with their checkbooks. It's worth it. More, it's worth more to them. They're willing to pay more than its value. Worth and value. And so, I guess what I'm trying to get around to tonight is worth determines willingness. The worth that you estimate something determines your willingness to partake of it, to pay for it, to pay the price, or whatever's involved. There's a lot of things that are of worth in the eyes of God. But one of the things that means the most to the Lord is our worship. Jesus said to the woman at the well, "The hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth." With your human energy, with your human emotion, lowercase s, human spirit, with your passion, with your energy, with your emotion, with your desire, and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. What's he looking for? He's looking for somebody to do the right thing, the right way, for the right reason. Worship in spirit and in truth. Oh, somebody shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, man, worship is not about what you receive. Worship is about what you offer. Anyone can praise the Lord. The Bible says, "Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord." I submit that anyone can praise, but not just everybody can worship. Because worship must be done in spirit and in truth. Man, you got to be able to do more than just enunciate the name of Jesus to worship him. But worship comes through relationship. Worship comes through desire. Worship comes through passion. Worship comes through a hunger in your heart to get close to the object of your worship. Would you lift up your hands right now? I feel the Holy Ghost coming to help us tonight.
Worship your name.
Amen. Worship with your spirit. Worship with the vital principle by which the body is animated. Worship with your soul. Worship with what makes you alive. Amen. That's what he's looking for. He's looking for you to put yourself into it. Amen. If you are not putting forth an effort, it's not worship. I'm not talking about how fast you can run, how high you can jump, how loud you can holler. But I am talking about how much you engage your heart. Sometimes there's some closed mouth and tears running down your face. Sometimes it's leaping and sometimes it's laying flat on your face. Sometimes it's songs of Zion. Sometimes it's sitting alone in a prayer closet somewhere, meditating on the goodness of the Lord. Amen. But your heart is engaged. Your spirit is in tune. Amen. Amen. I unashamedly, I'm a passionate person. I'm not ashamed of that. I believe that's part of it. Amen. If you can't get passionate about God, amen, what can you get passionate about? Amen. He is the giver of our passions. He's the one that gives us our feelings. Everything that we have comes from God. Why? Oh, Lord, have mercy. Why would I want to give to something or someone else more than what I would want to give to God? Amen. He's the one that gave it to me. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, somebody. I don't want to walk too far down this path. But the object of your emotion and your passion determines really what you worship and who your God really is. You are more passionate about stuff and things. You can say you worship God and serve the Lord, but really you're serving your job or your hobby. You're more passionate about those things. Amen. Now, and we're product of our environment, our raising, and I grew up with parents with rather old-fashioned ideals, and thank God for it. But it was ingrained in me, anything worth doing is worth doing right. Amen. If you're going to play the game, then play to win. Now, you may not win, but play to win. Don't just go through the motions. Now, if you give your best not good enough, congratulate the victor and then offer a rematch. Yeah, man, because I've learned a thing or two about my opponent. And I'll know a little bit more about it now, and I'll be better. Amen. So if you're playing ping pong, play ping pong to win. If you're playing basketball, play it to win. If you're playing, now don't get an attitude. Don't lose your Holy Ghost, but give it your best. If God has blessed you with a job, then be the best worker you can be. Does not this Bible says to do things as unto the Lord? Not with eye service as men pleasers? Not working harder when the supervisor's around? But do it as unto the Lord. Amen. I've been gifted passion, emotion, energy, and desire. But if anything is worthy, if anything merits my all, it's my God. Amen. Now, one of the greatest challenges that Abraham was ever given was from God, when God instructed him to take his son Isaac and offer him as a sacrifice. Take thy son, thine only son Isaac, and offer him to me as a burnt offering. I want you to see how this unfolds. This place where God has instructed him to make this offering was a few days travel away. It was on Mount Moriah. And so he gets his group together, some servants and some travel companions, and they get to the foot of this mountain. He turns, Abraham does, to the servants, and he says, you stay here with the animals. I and the lad will go yonder and worship. Worship. I'm.
Oh my Lord.
I'm going to worship because I'm giving God what He's asking for. We're not going up there to have a funeral. I may walk up there with my boy and walk back down by myself, but we're going to worship because I'm giving God what He's asking for. The Bible does say of Abraham's faith that he counted God as able. If he did, let him slay his own son to raise him up again. He had faith in the promises of God. God made me a promise. This is my promise from God. This is who the seed will flow through. And so I may kill my promise today, but after I have slain my promise, God will raise him back up. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, somebody. Even the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God said, get your spirit involved. Get your passion engaged. Get your desires in tune. Worship in spirit and in truth. I know where some of you are going. We're both water. I know what you're reaching. No, I'm not just reaching for your response tonight. I'm reaching for your heart. I'm reaching for you to hear what the Word says. What you do with it is your business. I know not everybody is as passionate as me and others, but everybody has. No one is without passion. You care a lot about something. The issue is, do I care about something else more than I care about God? Amen. Get your heart engaged. Amen. I said, get your heart in tune. Amen. Not only with our emotion, our passion, our desire, but in truth. According to fact, that is translated. According to the divine nature, in spirit and in truth. That's why I say everybody can praise, but not everybody can worship. Amen. If you believe in three gods, it's really hard for you to worship. Because you're not worshiping in truth. Jesus is the second person in the Trinity to you. And that's not the truth. That's not biblical fact. The fact is, all the fullness of the Godhead dwells in Him bodily, and we are complete in Him. And so when you say Jesus, amen, you're not really saying Jesus as it needs to be said, because Jesus to a Trinitarian is Jehovah Jr. Jesus is somebody of another religious persuasion. He's just a prophet or a good man or something. They can't really worship Jesus as according to His worthiness. Can't give to God what He's looking for. Come on, it's incumbent upon us as one God, Jesus name, Holy Ghost filled apostolic believers. We are qualified. Come on, it's not a pride thing, but we have a responsibility. We're qualified to give to God what He's looking for. Amen. I have a responsibility to live up to my privilege. I'm glad I know who Jesus is. So I'm not going to come to church and disengage. I'm not going to survive the work day and then come to church and just sit it out. No. I know too much about God. He's been too good to me. It may be fast, it may be slow. It might be loud, it might be quiet. It might be an earthquake. It might be a wind. It might be a fire. It may be a still small voice. But however God chooses to manifest His glory, I want to be receptive and responsive to the will and the moving of the Spirit of God. Oh, would you love the Lord? Come on, His presence is wanting to come here right now. Hallelujah. The Bible says in Judges that Joshua passed away. The children of Israel asked the Lord, saying, who shall go up for us against the Canaanites first to fight against them? Who will lead us into battle? And the Lord said, Judah shall go up. The tribe of worship. Judah in its most basic essence literally means to celebrate or celebrated. His mother Leah, when Judah wasn't a tribe but a child, bare a son again and said, I've gotten a man from the Lord, therefore will I praise the Lord. And she called his name Judah. Amen. Two, that word Judah in the Hebrew language comes from a root word which means to revere or worship with extended hands. More than lip service. More than simple acknowledgement. But exerting energy. Putting something forth. Not to be seen, but in sincerity. Spirit and truth. If you know anything about the tribe of Judah, it meant Judah is the tribe that kings come out of. And the Messiah is born to. Amen. Back again when Judah was just one of the brothers. And one of his brothers, Benjamin, I believe it was kept in ward. I'm not going to let him go. But Judah said this. He meant to his father. Amen. I'll be good for it. The life of my boys, amen, will procure the life of your son Benjamin. Amen. Nobody else could convince Israel, amen, to send, amen, his son. But Judah did. The Bible said that when Israel and the rest of the family were marching in, they were on their way to meet up, amen, with Joseph the provider. And the Bible said it was Judah that led his father Israel into the presence of his provider. Oh, hallelujah. I'm telling you, amen, there's something that worship can do that nothing else can do. Amen. True worship ushers you into the land of promise. True worship ushers you in to your place of provision. Worship is the one that ushers you into the presence of your provider. Amen. Psalm 22, thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest praises of Israel. He inhabits praise. He comes down to where praise is. Why? Because the Father seeketh such to worship. He inhabits praise, but he's looking. He's looking for somebody to take it to that next level. Not just give him lip service, but acknowledge his presence. You can praise from a distance. You can praise from second person. God is great and greatly. You can praise God by talking about him, but when you're worshiping, it's not about him, it's to him. Praise might say he is, but worship says you are. Because you're in the presence of the one you're worshiping. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. I read in John a very strong statement. Now this is the words of a man that had just received a miracle. And there were those that didn't like Jesus working miracles. And so they were grilling the man that had received a miracle. They're trying to make Jesus out to be a sinner. And this is what this man said in John 9:31. Now we know that God heareth not sinners. But if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. Now we know that God hears the cry of a hungry heart. That word sinners there is those that could care less about God. But those who allow their desire for more of God to override their background and their past. That's why it doesn't matter who you are tonight. If you come to this altar, you can feel His presence. Not because He's glossing over your sin. Not because He's, amen, saying all that stuff don't matter. No, it matters a lot. That's why we repent of it. But out of a sincere heart, out of hunger and passion, with spirit and truth, oh God, I'm reaching for You. Amen. If any man be a worshiper and doeth His will, it's the will of God for you to worship. It's the will of God for you to submit yourself. It's the will of God for you to express your desire for the Lord. Oh, I know tonight, man, a lot of us in this room may have reasons not to. Maybe we even feel like we have a right to respond differently or to not respond at all. But the value and the true worth of your worship is when you have a reason, so to speak, not to, but you go ahead and do it anyway. It's when you stand with Job after he's lost everything he ever had in one day just about. And the Bible said he got up, he rent his mantle, shaved his head, fell down upon the ground and worshiped. And this is what he said: I came out naked and I'll go back the same way. The Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name. What are you saying, Job? Have you lost your mind? No, I haven't lost my mind. That's about all I've got left. Remember, it's not based on his performance. It's based on his person. It's not about what he does. It's about who he is. It's not about what I have. It's about he's God, and I'm going to worship him. I may die with a terrible disease, but I'm going to go out worshiping my healer. Because whether he performs or not does not deter away from the fact that he is. He may choose not to. He may, amen, know a better way. He's God. His ways and thoughts are above him. Amen. The performance is his business, but the praise is mine. I'm not praising him just for what he's done. I know the Bible says to praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him for his mighty acts. Amen. That's about as far as praise can take you. It's all about what he's done. Look what the Lord has done. I feel like praising him. Praise him in the morning. Praise him all day long. I feel like praise. Amen. It's about what he's done. It's according to his excellent greatness. It's an affirmation of his power. Amen. It's according to his performance. But when you, amen, go beyond the dimension of praise and you step into worship, it's not about what he does. It's about who he is. Amen. Thou art holy, thou that inhabitest the praises of your people. Amen. Amen. He's worthy of our worship tonight. Would you lift up your hands with me right now? Why don't you speak that name that's above every name? Why don't you say it not just with your mouth, but with your heart tonight? The Holy Ghost wants to take this service somewhere very special. It's going to come through our worship tonight. Hallelujah. I'm not reaching for a bunch of noise. It's not about how much you sweat, but I'm reaching for the engaging of your heart. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, Job wasn't making a lot of noise that day. He didn't have a lot of energy to give. Hey, man, the props had got knocked out from under him. He lost his possessions. He lost his herds. He lost his servants. He lost his children. But he didn't lose his God. He didn't lose his faith. I'm convinced tonight that the more it costs you, the more it's worth. The more you're willing to pay, It's a testament to how worthy you feel he really is. As we stand tonight, I read in John 12, Mary took a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly. Say that with me. Very costly. And anointed the feet of Jesus, wiped his feet with her hair. The house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Everybody was affected by her sacrifice. She wasn't making a lot of noise, but she was making a sacrifice. We read about it in Matthew 26. Matthew writes, but when the disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, to what purpose is this waste? She's wasting that precious ointment. Very costly. What is she doing? She's worshiping. It's not waste, disciples, it's worship. I know it could be sold. I know the money could be deposited. I know there could be a lot done with the money that this cost, but it's worth it to Mary. Because Jesus has done something for her. Mary can tell you what it's like to be bound by the devil. Mary can tell you what it's like to wake up out of her mind, go through days not even knowing hardly who she is because she's bound by tormenting spirits of hell. But she has a testimony. Allow me to read from a commentary. This ointment or perfume was made from an aromatic herb called spikenard from the mountains of India. It was imported in alabaster bottles. This expensive imported item carried such value, notice, that people used it for investment purposes as gold is often used today. According to the scriptures, this particular spikenard was worth 300 denarii, the equivalent of a year's wages of a working man. A year's wages. Excuse me. I like cologne, but I'm not paying a year's wages for a bottle of cologne. But she did. And she took what it took a year's wages of a working man. Who knows how long it took her? Some theologians and biblical historians feel that this may have represented her life's savings. She took everything she had and offered it to Jesus. Amen. This is what they used to anoint kings. And she knew who Jesus was. So nothing is too much to give. And nothing is too much for him to ask. I want to give him what he's looking for because he's worthy. The Lamb. The one that shed his blood. The one that died on a cross. The one that cried, "It is finished." It is finished. It's paid in full. The price has been paid. Caitlin was doing some study about this a few years ago, and she came across this understanding that that phrase that Jesus used on the cross was actually a legal term. It was like the last payment for a piece of property or possession has been made, and they take the stamp and they stamp the document. The deed has been paid for. It's finished. I've done what's necessary. sometimes he's a lion. I know sometimes he roars. But it doesn't say the lion is worthy. I know he's the root and offspring of David. I know of his lineage, but it doesn't say the root's worthy. But when it comes to worthiness, we see a lamb as it has been slain. Would you lift up your hands and worship the Lamb of God, slain from the foundation of the world. You're worthy. You're worthy. I read in my Bible that when we get to heaven, we're going to take our crowns and we're going to cast them at his feet. This is not really mine. It's really yours. I couldn't have done this without you. Oh, hallelujah. I'm making no excuses for my passion right now. I'm overcome with his worthiness. I'm consumed with his worthiness tonight. Where would I be without the Lamb? What kind of life would I be living tonight when you take God out of the equation? It's going to be all right, John. Somebody's here that can take care of business. The lion's here, the root's here. And John said, when I looked in the midst of the throne, stood a lamb. And before that service was over, there was a voice that was echoing in the heavenly chambers. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the one that paid the price. Amen. Little sacrifice is not too much for him to ask him. Hallelujah. I don't know what they feel like playing or singing. I just know I feel God's presence. And I want to invite some worshipers to come and stand in this altar. You want to express his worthiness tonight. I don't know where we're going to go from here, but I feel like this is the right thing to do. If you want to come feel God's presence, why don't you join with the family right now? If there's sins you need to repent of, why don't you join us? Bring your repentance with you. A miracle from God, just come on. I feel the Holy Ghost is about to do something special here tonight. In the name of Jesus. Come on, as close as you can get, please.